Hi guys, welcome back. It is Tara, and I am listening to Kelsey tell me a story today.
Hi guys. This story is another one that's from my hometown that a lot of people might be familiar with, except for they might be familiar with a different version of the story and not necessarily the actual facts.
You can spit those facts at me, Kelsey.
I shall spit all of the facts.
Spit these facts at me.
Oh, God. We usually cover unsolved cases in the podcast, but we're going to take a little bit of a turn in this episode. We are dedicated to getting out those unsolved cases, but we're also really interested in controversial ones as well. And on top of that, this case was a requested one, so shout out to Brianna. This one's for you, girlfriend.
Boop, boop.
All right, are you ready?
I'm ready. Ooh, you're gonna spit some facts and some controversy at me. I'm ready.
And now I'm like, so excited.
That's the excitement sound.
This episode's a little weird for me because I grew up hearing bits and pieces of this story and the urban legend, if you will, that's been created around it. But I did dig into my research and I tried to find the actual facts and not just the rumors that were started. So this episode, we're going to be covering the Corpsewood Manor Murders, which is probably the most emo name for a residence that I have ever heard.
That's amazing. That is so good. I'm so ready.
But I do want to clarify that the name doesn't actually have anything to do with anything morbid. They named it that because of the bare autumn leaves that were in the area when they came to the area.
Oh.
So it was poetic.
Oh.
Corpsewood.
Oh, it's just the bare trees.
The bare trees.
Someone had a romantic heart strolling through that yard.
Strolling through the yard. Well, it was actually in the middle of the woods.
Well, it could be a yard. A yard could be anywhere. A yard could be on top of a mountain.
And it was.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, how'd you know?
It was just hypothetically.
No, it's not hypothetically.
Yards could be anywhere.
You got it. All right. Time to get serious, okay? Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
On the night of December 12th, 1982, 17-year-old Kenneth Brock and his roommate, 30-year-old Samuel West, along with two of their friends, decided to go to a party with the residents of Corpsewood Manor, where eventually the night took a turn. The residents of the manor were Dr. Charles Scudder and Joseph Odom. Before moving to the woods of Somerville, Georgia, Dr. Scudder was a professor at a college in Chicago. He grew very tired of the city life. He had lost his wife and his children were adults, and he began to find the city as basically sensory overload. You can actually read an article about his thoughts and why he moved where he went to, because I actually found the article, and I think it's really important to read because it's his own words and about his thought process about why he didn't like the city anymore, and why he wanted to move to a more secluded area.
Okay.
I'll link that in the description below. Like I said, I feel like it's a really good indicator of his personality and his thought process, which is really important considering all of the rumors that came out of this event. I think it's also really good at taking away the ambiguity that was placed on him. And in this article, he wrote that he also noticed that his medical students were becoming less interested in learning, which kind of made him feel less inclined to want to teach them, basically.
Yeah.
After coming into an inheritance at the whopping amount of $100 a month, he decided to move with his partner, Odom, to start a life of simplicity.
Partner?
Yes.
Like... Oh, so wife was, so it was he bi, or?
I'm not sure.
Okay, it doesn't really specify or anything. Are we talking like medical partner? Like this is his
No, this is bread. His like partner.
Partner, life partner. Okay.
Life partner.
Okay.
I saw in some places that Joseph Odom was actually his like housekeeper. Like he had been his housekeeper for years and eventually they like, don't wink at me. Like he really was his housekeeper and then they eventually had a relationship together.
Hear that, Wattpad? It's possible.
No. No, we don't bring that here.
We don't.
Keep that away. And one thing that I did want to know is a lot of the articles made me really mad because they kept referencing as Joseph Odom. He was like Dr. Scudder's lover. And I feel like that's such a like...
It's kind of demeaning.
Yeah, it makes it so like... these gay men.
It's when like, they're just two guys in love, let them live their life.
It's like, how much you let them do them and y'all relax.
You just chill.
Sorry, that was a side rant. The two men decided on the seclusion of the North Georgia woods where they begin to build their own castle by hand. One interesting... You gonna say something?
I just said wow. Yeah. Wow. That's the goal, isn't it?
To build your own castle?
Yeah.
Yeah. One interesting thing about Dr. Scudder, and something that the media really picked up on and ran with after the murders, was that Dr. Scudder was interested in the Church of Satan and the occult.
Okay, so what do we qualify as, like, interested? Did he, like have some Google searches where he's like, what is this? Or do you have, like, books and, like...
Well, it was the 80s, so he probably didn't Google.
Oh, I didn't realize this was that long ago.
1982.
Oh, okay.
So, we will go farther into his, like...
interest in the occult.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the important part to know is that the media really picked up on this, and it was also in the middle of North Georgia. So...
That's true. That's true.
This is part of where the rumors came from, where this, like, legend about the Corpsewood Manor.
Satanists used to live here. Yeah, okay. Gotcha. Gotcha. All right.
And now, I also did find that they had some gothic, in quotes, decorations in their home, such as a stained glass window of Baphomet, is that how you say that? Which I may or may not be saying incorrectly, which is an important figure in the Church of Satan. I believe he's considered, like, a prophet of, like, Satan.
Oh,
yes. And they had named one of their dogs
Beelzebub.
Beelzebub? Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other dog was named Asenath? Asenath?
Asenath.
Which is an H.P. Lovecraft character. Mm-hmm. But in wow. my... I'm sorry.
I was just, wow.
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 I think they were just emo.
I think they just were a little bit into it, man. I mean, who can fault them?
But in my research, I found across multiple sources that Dr. Scudder wasn't really committed to the Church of Satan. According to his neighbor, he had only joined to see what it was all about.
So he did join.
Yeah, he joined it just because he was like, interesting, let's join this. And apparently he actually identified as an atheist.
Okay.
He liked, did see that he liked their views on basically how the Church of Satan believes that sexual conduct is with whoever's consenting with you. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you just... as two consenting people, do what you want to do. And that's the thing that really drew him to it.
Yeah. The Church of Satan has, like, a horrible reputation. And, like, I mean, like, I get it, Satan. Like, it's not good things that are associated with Satan. But, like, if you actually read the rules, like, one time I did out of curiosity, I wasn't like, maybe I should join it. But, like, I was just curious.
Same.
And I read, and, like, they actually, like, stipulate to not harm innocents.
Yeah.
Or animals. Which is, like, interesting to me.
I'm just saying that it's not what you expect when you hear the Church of Satan. It's not like, oh, let me go sacrifice, like, you know, this animal to praise the Dark Lord or whatever. It's much more different than what people assume of it.
Yeah.
So along with the handcrafted home that they had spent 2 years building, they had also created a few other smaller buildings, like, around the house. One was the chicken house that consisted of 3 floors. The first floor was to house poultry and food storage. The second floor was where they kept canned goods. And I saw a couple of sources that said that it also had their pornography collection in it.
Oh.
But that's one of those places where I kind of had to figure out how I was going to take these because... a lot of the sources are a little bit inflammatory when it comes to the story.
Okay.
Because of all of the little elements that it entails.
There might be some prejudice is basically what you're saying.
Yeah. Okay. And then the third floor, it is infamously known as the Pink Room.
I was gonna... okay. I know what this is gotta be.
So the Pink Room is actually a thing. There's used to be pictures of it, I believe. There, I would like to say... this is about to get a little sexual.
We all.
I think we all knew that.
Yeah. Just a warning if you didn't infer that. This pink room was home to where the men liked to host guests and have sex with them. They would have sex parties. But with people who were interested.
I was going to say guests, meaning like, ooh, yeah, I know what I'm going over here for.
Right.
Okay.
So they also used, they had this room that they also, like, entertained guests with. It's kind of like, oh, do you want to come over and hang out? And just, like, hang out with us and we'll hang out in the pink room. But they also used this room specifically for their sex parties. Apparently, this room had mattresses, candles, a logbook with their guests and their sexual preferences. So they...
Wow, that was that's detailed. They're like, hey, sign this book and, you know, you can put your little signature here and then tell us what you... Are you a bottom? Are you a top? Tell me.
I think it's interesting because they're... It seems like they were, like, very...
Meticulous.
Meticulous about, like, consent and yeah. Making sure it was, like, consensual.
Which is nice.
Yeah.
It's good to see. Also kind of interesting that the... I'm gonna go ahead and just think that they probably had, like, a side entrance. That way, like, they didn't have to all traipse through some chicken stuff. Like, all the way yeah. up through the...
That's the one thing that, like, when I kept reading about this, I was like, why would you, like, keep your chickens, like, your poultry at the bottom floor and then, like, your entertainment room at the
entertainment. Top. Entertainment. Yeah, like, oh, what an aphrodisiac, all this just smell of chickens.
So, that's interesting. I'm so sorry if my mother listens to this and she hears me talking about some of these things. Sorry, Mom. So the pink room is the room that on the night of December 12th, 1982, that they partied with their new guests. Kenneth Brock and his roommate, Samuel West.
Okay.
And their two teenage friends.
Okay, there's four people.
There's four people.
Okay.
So I'm not really going to go into details about the two teenagers.
Because are they minors?
They were teenagers.
Like, you can be a teenager and not be a minor, though.
They were, like, 17 and 18, I think. They're not as relevant to the story because they weren't involved in the murders.
Okay, well, I was just saying, if they're banging, like, minors, that's kind of gross.
Well, they weren't going there to with the intentions of, like, a sex party.
Oh, okay, okay.
They were just going there to hang out.
Hang out, okay.
Because, like, that's just a thing that the men like to do. They did like to entertain.
Yeah.
So Kenneth Brock had been hanging out with the men of the manor before this night. He would go over and party with them, where they would drink homemade wine and possibly indulge in a little LSD.
Oh.
Here's a little side note, a little tidbit of information. Dr. Scudder, when he worked at the college in Chicago, he had been working on a government-funded experiment with mind-altering drugs like LSD, and he had brought those. He had brought 12,000 doses of LSD with him.
Oh my god.
He's just covering all his bases. He's like, I don't know where I'm going to get me some psychedelics.
I guess.
So Brock, having had these experiences at Corpsewood, he decided to invite the others to a party that night. So either at once they arrived at the house or on the way to the house, my sources conflicted on this information. The four had begun drinking alcohol and huffing paint thinners.
Oh, good. Let's just kill the brain cells that we got. Left.
Left. Once they arrived to Dr. Scudder and Odom's house, they welcomed them and offered them homemade wine, and they were having a good time just hanging out. At some point in the night, Brock walks out to his truck, takes out a rifle, promptly walks into the kitchen, and shoots and kills Odom and the two dogs. He and Samuel West go and bind and gag Dr. Scudder, hold him at knife point, and bring him in to see his dead boyfriend and the two dogs. West and Brock began demanding all of their money and valuables. They eventually realized there was no money. So Dr. Scudder had put all of his money into building his house.
Yeah.
And they killed him. Right before they shot him five times in the head, Dr. Scudder's famous last words were, "I asked for this." Which, another weird side note, a few weeks before his death, Dr. Scudder had made a self-portrait. In the self-portrait, he had made what appeared to be four injuries on his head that looked like bullet holes.
Oh my god.
which is super freaky.
Does anyone like have record of that portrait?
Yeah, I can find it for you.
Oh, I would love to see that in like the least loving way possible, because that's probably going to absolutely horrify me.
And if when I find it, I can link it down below in this episode also.
Oh my god, what? What is that? That's terrifying, dude.
She's looking at the pictures of the portrait that he did. How freaky is that?
He looks already dead.
Yeah.
His eyes are like yellow.
Yeah. That was a self-portrait that he did.
Wow, that's horrifying. He looks like he's gagged.
Yep. How weird is it that that's what happened to him?
All right. So we gotta have more answers than that.
It's suspected that he said, "I asked for this," in reference to where he had moved to. Some of the articles that I said, they tried to analyze this, and they were saying that because he moved to a place where being gay and also being interested in the occult, it's not very accepting of that lifestyle.
It's the Bible Belt, man.
And so he, at that point, was like, "I asked for this. Because I moved somewhere where it was not acceptable," quotes, "to be the way that I am."
Yeah.
Obviously, we don't have an answer to that.
Yeah.
But it's really sad. After Brock and West brutally murdered Dr. Scuttle and Odom, they went through the house looking for valuables, and they didn't really find anything because they didn't really have any valuables.
Yeah.
They tried to steal a harp that Scuttle liked to play, but it wouldn't fit in the Jeep. Which they were stealing.
Harps are huge, yeah, too. So I guess it could get, they're also like enormously heavy.
Yeah.
So these two bozos were like trying to get a harp outside, probably like crashing it down the steps.
Like a cartoon.
Like literally like a horrible cartoon. Like some kind of Courage the Cowardly Dog.
Right.
Like-ish.
The Jeep that they were trying to fit it into was actually Scuttle's and Odom's Jeep. So they were like, yeah, we're also going to take this too. And they obviously didn't get away with the harp because it didn't fit. I don't know how they didn't look at the harp and like realize, hey, this isn't going to fit in a Jeep. But okay. So they get in the Jeep and they flee. They go to Mississippi. And along the way, they actually murder another person.
What?
They were planning on stealing the car of Navy Lieutenant Kirby Phelps, but this went wrong and Wes shot and killed him. So they were in the process of like holding this man up, trying to take his car. And while Brock was loading up the other car, something went wrong and Wes just shot him.
Oh, so these guys are just off the rails now, just kind of killing anyone who gets in their way.
Yes.
Awesome. Great.
After this situation, since it was like obviously went wrong, the two men split up.
Oh.
They eventually turned themselves in, like separately. Brock pled guilty and was sentenced to 3 consecutive life sentences. And West was given the death sentence, but it was later overturned. So he has life in prison.
Why are you gonna kill the doggos?
Dude, I don't know, man. What? Like, that's truly the thing that's so just like cruel. I mean, all of it's very cruel, but the fact that they were like, we're gonna kill this dude and his two dogs, and then we're gonna go get his boyfriend and make
show
him. Yeah.
Like, the showing part to me is the thing of actual nightmares. Like, that makes my blood curdle.
It's just so incredibly, like, I mean,
horrendous.
Yeah, it's like,
it's needless. Like, that means that they legit wanted to see his reaction to it, which makes me just like cold. Like, it makes me like, ugh.
Well, they're like, here, let me show you your dead boyfriend, your two dead dogs, now give us your money. That would make me much less likely to give you any money,
because at that point you're most likely gonna kill me.
Yeah,
so I might as well tell you to just go screw yourself off this earth,
literally.
And because at this point I don't want to live. You killed everything I was living for.
Yeah, so it's like, what's the point? Like,
yeah.
Are you ready for some local spooks and some inflammatory media?
Oh boy. Is there non-inflammatory media?
No, there is. There's a lot of inflammatory media. Let's first start with the supposed motive for the murders.
There we go.
I tried so hard to say motive like 4 times. I kept saying murder. It wasn't working. According to the sources, The official story, I say official in quotes, is that Brock had suspected that the men were wealthy due to their lifestyle. Now, there is some speculation, which I feel like this one might be more believable than the I thought they had money one. This speculation is that Brock might have been one of their special guests, or he had wanted to be, but the men denied him. He was 17. So I could see that he, like, wanted to be a part of their parties. Rendezvous. Right? And the men being like, you're 17?
No.
And so he got mad. But according to him, he thought that they had money because of their house. And that's why he killed them. But when West, the roommate, the 30-year-old roommate, which also I find kind of strange that Brock was 17 and he had a 30-year-old roommate. Weird. West, when they asked why, West stated, they were devils and I killed them.
Oh.
And the media took the satanic slash devil worshiper angle and ran with it.
Yeah.
This was during the time of the satanic panic. It was the 80s.
Yeah.
And people were literally okay with the fact that the men were murdered because they were supposedly Satan worshippers and they were gay and they were like...
I knew they were going to spin it like that. I knew they were going to do it like that because you can't just be a nice dude that has an interest in the occult and is also gay in the Bible Belt. You have to be this... Yeah.
This horrible human.
Yeah. Who got what was coming to him or something like that. No. It's just...
Like, many of the newspapers from the time were, like, devil worshippers slain.
I was gonna say something like that.
They spun the narrative to make it look like these guys were, like, super, like, sacrificing. Nefarious. That's a great word to describe it. And, like I mentioned before, if you read the article that he wrote from when he, like, first moved there and, like, why he moved there, you can see that his personality was not... like this, worship Satan, like, I hate everybody. Like, he was very well-spoken, very polished. He's very charismatic, even in this article. Like, when I was reading it, I was like, oh, this guy was kind of cool.
Yeah.
So, it's awful. And then I have another little side note. At one point, the local police department tried to file charges against the men because they were Satan worshippers.
While they were alive?
Yeah. And then they found out they couldn't do that because it goes against...
Separation of church and state.
Well, and you're allowed to practice any religion that you want.
I was going to say, what even were the... What's the grounds for that? Like, what even... I don't like that.
Those damn Satan worshippers.
Those damn devil worshippers.
Yeah. I was like, when I saw that, I was like, really? Like, first of all, they were up in the secluded mountains... Even if they were worshiping Satan, like, they obviously were not making any sort of sacrifices to Satan.
No, it's not like they were killing people.
Just let them live. Like, so what if they do? Just, that doesn't mean you should just, make charges against them.
Yeah.
Whatever. To this very day, where they lived is sometimes referred to as Devil Worshippers Mountain.
Love that.
Love that. Like, that's how I heard of it. Like, as a
really?
Kid. I was always told that the guys that lived there were these, I've heard that they were witches, that they were devil worshippers. Guys that went and murdered them were like these vigilantes, basically taking out these,
wow,
like...
Wow, I thought they were gonna spin them in a positive light somehow.
So there's also, so like the local spooks I was talking about. Mm-hmm. So obviously the rumors were in this like urban legend, and so they say that this place is haunted now.
Mm-hmm.
And people to this day will still go up to where their house was because it was, there's still like the foundation and like part of the buildings, and people will go up there and say that when you're there, you can hear the sound of dogs barking, the sound of gunshots, or even the sound of a harp being played.
Oh, wow.
And people used to challenge each other to go up there and take a brick from the ruins of the house because supposedly you would be cursed for life if you took one. And people believed that this happened either because of the murders or because of, quote unquote, they were devil worshippers, which they weren't even devil worshippers. So
it's not like he like, not like the Pink Room was like full of like black leather suits and flaying like whips and all this, like there's like goat masks in there. That's literally, it was just like, they're probably swingers.
Yeah. Yeah. But the thing is like, even if it did have those things that you were saying, unless it was like explicitly like, we're doing this for Satan, but that doesn't mean that they were.
No. And like, I mean, the goat mask thing would be kind of like, yeah, that'd be kind of like, this was probably for Satan.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just saying, it's just,
it, even the thing is even if they had all those things in the room, if everyone in the room is a consenting adult and it did not take place in like a public place and they weren't hurting people or animals, then who gives a care? Who cares? Who cares? It doesn't mean that they're supposed to die.
Nope. And that's the thing that I think a lot of people, like people still, I don't think even know the real story about what happened.
Yeah.
Because people are just like, oh, well, I know what I heard. Yeah. And it's like, I have many sources. I looked across all over the internet. Like,
yeah.
And so
This is one of those things where it's basically just a generational game of telephone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the story keeps changing. Like, the fact, like, I heard that they were witches.
Yeah.
And they were performing spells and, like, stuff like that. No. None of that. Mm-mm. These do the spells that they were doing, their potions, they were making some homemade wine. Like, they literally made homemade wine and chilled up in their little secluded area.
Yeah.
Having a good time. So this case was really interesting to rip the metaphorical smoke and mirrors down.
Yeah.
But beyond that, it was actually really sad. Mm-hmm. Charles Scuttle came to Georgia to find peace and in turn was brutally murdered. Scuttle did love the place where he came and called home. And I want to leave this on a happy note from the article that he had written. This is a direct quote from the article. "The world that's around me now is fresh, quiet, and very beautiful." Mm. All right, so what's your thoughts, comments, feelings, and concerns?
I guess it does reflect the time period maybe a little more, just because this was in the 80s, the early 80s, is that right?
Yes, 82.
And I suppose maybe the views that still linger in the South were even more heightened, because that was, what, 40 years ago now, almost, 38. Yeah, just to rip that tablecloth out from underneath. Yeah,
that, like, screwed me up a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. For some reason, I think about the 80s being 20 years ago.
But yeah, same. Even though, like, we weren't even born until, like almost 2000.
Yeah, so I don't know why we think that, but it's legit a thing. Like, I think Batman Begins, like, literally came out, like, 3 years ago. It came out in 2005. I was 7 years old. Yeah.
It's funny, that's what Chris wanted to watch tonight.
Bruh, I love that
movie. Actually, he wants to watch The Dark Knight.
That's an amazing trailer.
Anyway,
it makes me sad that people can't just, there's so much prejudice against people of maybe not a majority religion, mm-hmm. or not a majority orientation, and that can be used to justify and even deify the people who perpetrated such terror on someone else. You know what I mean? Like, can you imagine? I can't even imagine being led into a room and having all of my life's work, all of my the love of my life and everything. He was a father too. I mean, they took that father away from his two kids. I mean, I know they were grown, but that doesn't make it any better.
Yeah.
And why the dogs? Why you gotta do that?
I knew you were gonna go back to the dogs.
There's no reason. I mean, I'm sure the dogs probably didn't take kindly to you killing their two beloved masters. That probably wasn't a thing that they liked.
Yeah.
But
there was one source that said, it was just one source, so I don't want to like completely say that this was absolutely true. But I do want to throw it in there. They said that the dogs didn't even move from where they were. They like hadn't even left the fireplace where they were sitting in front of. And they were just killed. And another thing is just, like, I feel like a little bit it may have been more of a vendetta against Dr. Scudder, because why would they immediately kill Joseph Odom and the dogs, and then make Scudder come in there. So part of me wonders if there was some sort of, like, personal issues right there.
That, you know, it's kind of interesting because I feel like there's something we're missing. You know, just because, like, he said, maybe I'm reading too much into this, but if he actually did say, I asked for this, you know, I feel like he had to have wronged him somehow.
Yeah.
Or he felt like he did. Or because, obviously, I think you're correct. With they had to have had some level of, like, deep-seated hatred towards him, or just malice in general that was just happened to be projected on him for the moment. Yeah. Because you don't, you have to feel very strongly to do what they did to someone.
Yeah.
Just in general. Because that's a very powerful thing to do.
That's why it's so confusing to me. I just feel like the motive that they gave was not very...
It's lackluster. It doesn't explain that you have to have rage behind what they did. You have to have intent, and you want to see someone suffer. Like, you need to be angry, and or if not at him, at something.
Yeah.
There has to be a purpose, to me, even if that purpose is just, like, sadistic satisfaction.
But still, was that worth it? Like,
I don't know. Obviously it wasn't, because they both turned themselves in.
Yeah, one of them turned themselves in on a Christmas day.
Wow.
Yeah, because this happened on December 12th. One of them turned themselves in on December 20th, and the other one turned themselves in on December 25th.
Of the same year?
Yes. The same month.
Wow.
And it's just crazy to me. Like, not only their lackluster motive, but just the fact that even afterwards, when they were trying to flee, they killed another guy.
Yeah. Just got in their way.
And I wish that I had more information on the man that they killed on their run. But a lot of sources just kind of, like,
Glossed over it.
They were like, and then they killed another man trying to steal his car. Anyways. Like, I had to go through, like, many sources to find this man's name.
Jeez.
I was like,
he's important, too.
Like, they killed multiple people.
What was his name?
Navy Lieutenant Kirby Phelps. Which is so sad.
Right? He was just in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah. I really wish that I knew what happened in that
moment.
Like, why West just straight up was like, okay.
Whenever you were first telling it to me, the way it played out in my head was, he is in the military. He's not going to be like, I'm not about to let you guys just steal my car and everything that's in it. And he probably maybe lunged at him, tried to maybe tactical takedown, and he just got shot.
Yeah. Well.
I think, especially when the memory of the victims is besmirched in some way. And especially we have slander of the victims, and we have glorification of the murderers. And then we have a person who's just in the wrong place at the wrong time. And to me, that is some of the saddest, because if you just stopped at the store, you just gone home instead of going to the gas station, you know, just little tiny butterfly effect things that you just can't help but think, what if you just had not have gone there that day?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the thing that really, really irritates me about the story, like you said, was the fact of the reputation of the victims was destroyed.
Yeah.
And I don't care, unless these people were hurting other people in some way, there's no reason for the media to vilify the victims.
Exactly.
The victims did not do anything to make them deserved to have been killed.
No, like, they the thing is it all goes down to a bottom line with the media. If the papers are going to get snatched up real fast, instead of two blah 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 county residents were killed in a blameless shooting, or it's a lot more juicy to have two devil worshippers slain in their own home, you know. It just, and their papers are going to sell faster, they're probably going to get a bonus, you know, just all that jazz. It's sick, but it's how the world works.
I think also a part of it that also still draws a lot of, like, rumor is the fact that they did name the manor Corpsewood Manor, yeah. Which is sad because they weren't intending it to be, like, creepy in any way. No. He came from the city, and when he came to see this land that he had just bought, he looked around and was like, oh, all of the trees are, like, bare. And so, Corpsewood.
Naked trees, you know, bare, skeleton trees. It makes sense. And it's poetic. He seems like he had, like, a romantic soul.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Which, I keep referencing the article, but in the article, you can just see the way he talks about stuff. Like, he had, like, detailed, like, certain days that he found as, like, the good days when they first, like, moved there. And, like, aww, their progression of, like, because they did everything. They built the house by hands. Jeez. And he was like, on this day, we, tapped water, and now we can do this, this, and this, and that was a really good day because of this reason. And on this day, we broke ground with digging up the foundation with hand tools, and this was a good day because it started the beginning of our new home. And yeah, it's just, the article actually kind of made me a little emotional to read.
Yeah,
because it also makes you feel bad, because I've been told when I was a child, or whenever I heard these stories, they were horrible people, they were devil worshippers and all of this stuff, and it's like, no, he was just trying to live, like,
a life.
He was probably, if he was here now, he'd probably be on, like, Tiny House Nation, like,
yeah,
off the grid somewhere. So, sorry to drop that sad one on you guys.
Well, I suppose this episode's in memory of those three.
Yes, I agree.
And we shall see you guys on the flip side.
Are you gonna say it?
Cue theme song.
Let's start with the supponents.
The supponents.
It's not meant to be for me today.